Our message today is learning from the past. And how many times have you heard it said, if we could just look back and learn from what has happened? Can we look back at the past and learn what has happened? I believe we can. I believe God has provided for us an ability to see things that's happened in our past life, not previous, but in the past, are in other people's lives, in history. We've been given God's word to show us. And we can look at all sorts of individuals in the Bible. And it's real easy when we look at people who made bad choices in the Bible to say, wow, what were they thinking? You know, and so many times we have to realize that in our own life, maybe God's pointing that out to us as well. Look and learn. And we're going to see Paul in Corinthians teaching them from the choices that the Israelites made when they came out of Egypt. And we're going to look at that this morning. And we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 1 down through 13. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Therefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word, and we thank you for the privilege that we have of holding your word in our hands and hiding it in our hearts. May you take your word today and strengthen us and guide us and direct us, and let us be encouraged in your word, but Lord, let us be stronger than we were when we came in. Let us leave this place today closer to you, more committed to you, more dedicated to you, more surrendered to you. And Lord, help us through your word. And may the Spirit again take your words and guide us and teach us and direct us in whatever each one of us as an individual needs for salvation, for growth, for correction. Lord, may your word speak to us and to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been said that those who fail to learn from the mistakes of history live to repeat them. And we need to learn to watch what's going on. We need to learn to watch the examples that God has provided for us. And it doesn't matter if you're a little child, you can watch the examples. I remember watching my sisters get in trouble when I was a little guy. And I learned I don't want to do that because I'm going to get in trouble if I do what they just did. They didn't have to watch me because I was never in trouble. I learned by example. And, you know, we have that in our lives today. We have all kinds of examples out there. Some are good examples and some are bad examples. And we can learn from bad examples, seeing bad examples as well. You see somebody driving down the road 100 miles an hour on a motorcycle, and he ends up wrapped around a tree somewhere. Is that a good example or a bad example? It's not something we want to do, is it? So it would lean on, don't do that. How do I prevent that then? How do I go to a point in my life? How do I examine the situation? Well, God has given us those situations as well by examples of the nation of Israel is a major one of what they did good and what they did not do good. And we have a lot of God's word teaching us of how to live as God's people. And God's word gives us warnings from the days of Moses, as we're going to look at today. The first warning is the warning of complacency. You know, Paul describes the privileges which the Israelites received from God as he led them out of Egypt into the promised land, away from their bondage, to where he wanted them to be. And it's real easy to look at the Israelites and say, well, if they would have only listened to God, if they had only trusted God, why didn't they do it the way God wanted them to do it? And so many times, God is pointing to us and saying, are you listening to what you're saying? They're people. And God directed them, but along with that, even though they were a great mass of people, they were individuals as well. And as you see, one of my favorite examples is when they came to the borders of the promised land and spied out the land, there were two of the 12 that said, let's go. God can take care of this. And then we had the unfaithful, the untrusting. And they saw and feared the land and the people and the things that were going on there. They said, we can't do this. We're just grasshoppers in their sight. Can we learn from that? Absolutely. Because of their decision, because of their choice, God led them another direction. There were things they needed to learn. There was places they needed to go. There was things that needed to happen in their lives. And the generation that chose to not go did not go. They did not enter the land. But when we think about the bondage of the Israelites in Egypt and the generations and generations that they were there and how they had become separated from following God, how they had been enslaved into the world of sin, and as God brought them out of that, we see God's salvation to them. There in the first couple of verses of our text, God brought them out, delivered them from that bondage. A picture of God's deliverance from sin. And Paul recounts how God saved the Israelites from Pharaoh's army. In Exodus 14, 30, it says, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And you've read the passage where God leads them through the sea and closes it up on the Egyptians that are following. And God provides for them the ability to go on. You think, wow, what an event. What an amazing thing that God just did. But as soon as they got on the other side, just a short ways down the road, what happens? That is so like human. God just did a miracle in my life, but now is he really working? And we get that way as people, and we shouldn't. We have lots of examples to keep following. Paul speaks of this crossing the sea as a baptism unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and it identified Moses as their leader. God chose Moses to lead them, to be the one to take them and lead them in the path that he had for them. And that's funny how we look at leaders. Do we realize that God is able to provide for us a leader? Do we realize that we should follow the leader God gives us? How rebellious can we be? It's so easy, isn't it? Well, if they just do it my way, we wouldn't have a problem, right? Well, that's what they were basically telling Moses too. And we'll see that a little bit later on. We have to watch that because God is God. We are not. So God provided for them the ability to leave Egypt, provides for them a place to go, and God provides for them as well. In verses 3 and 4, we see God's provision for the nation of Israel. And it says, and they all had the same spiritual meat and spiritual drink. God took care of them, took care of their sustenance. And the word spiritual here doesn't mean necessarily that it wasn't real food and drink, because that's what they needed, but it was provided by them, for them, by God. In Psalm 78, 24 and 25, it says, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. God provided. Can we learn from that? Absolutely. God took care of them. What happened? They got tired of it. They wanted something different. The manna and the water, though, are both a picture of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6, verse 31 through 36, it says, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Jesus said, I am that manna. I am that living water. Today, we can look back and see that. It's a lot easier to look back and say, wow, there it is, right there. And then we can see it in the New Testament saying, there it is in the Old Testament. But we have to take it today and say, here it is in my life, and here's what it means today. Here's what God is telling me from those examples. We need to learn of God's provision for us. But what was the people's reaction in verse 5? It says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Did God know them? Absolutely. Did they make perfect choices? No. But what they did had an effect upon not only them as an individual, but them as a nation as well. It is a clear warning against complacency. The next warning is the warning against evilness. First Corinthians 10 and verse 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Paul describes four things to illustrate this. In verse 7 he says, neither be ye idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. What happened? Their leader was gone for a while, so what happened? Let's do something different. Let's make our own God. God must not be real. The God that brought us through the sea didn't and has been taking care of us. He must not be real. How logic is that? But how do people think? Has people changed at all? They still do the same thing. And they build a golden calf and worship it. As a result, God's judgment fell upon them. And in Exodus 32, 28, it says, and there fell with the people that day about 3,000 men. Why? Because they turned from God. They turned from the one true God. Exodus 32, 35, and the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. Does God know what's going on all over the world? Absolutely. Does God know what's going on in my heart and your heart? Absolutely. That's what makes him just. And he is just. He knows how to deal with each one of us precisely the way we need to. And he does. We find pagan worship in and out of Israel all through the Old Testament. The downfall of much of Israel's time period. But again, it's an example. What is the downfall? What separates us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? We prevent it. We're the only thing that can prevent our turning to the Lord. Because the Lord's provided for us everything that we need. We just have to trust Him and rely upon Him. But it's so easy for man when he doesn't get his way, mankind, to let's try something else. Let's do something else. Let's build our own God. And in our world today, we have a multiplicity of types of gods. But the Bible is clear, there's only one true God. Everything else is a counterfeit. Everything else is an attempt at man to take care of himself. And denying the one true God that has provided for us. So pagan worship is one of the evils. The next one was the sexual immorality that's brought out in verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed. And we see that as they did, they went and got involved with people of the nations that they were passing through. And God's judgment fell upon them. And again, in Numbers 25:9, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. In 1 Corinthians, it says in verse 8, and fell in one day 23,000. It's amazing. We start looking at, from the time they came out of Egypt, what's happening? As the people rebelled against God, as the people stood against God, as the people chose to walk contrary to what God was telling them. God was removing them to train and to teach the nation of Israel. Pay attention, God is God. But it was not for their learning as only, it's for ours as well, as Paul is telling the Corinthians here. Because the Corinthians were not Israelites. He was teaching them and training them as well. The next thing we find was that they were testing the Lord. In verse 9, it says, neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted. Numbers 21, verse 5 says, and the people spake against God and against Moses. They rose up against the leader that God had given to them. They spoke a contrary to all the provisions, all the things God had been doing for them. We must be careful that we don't do the same thing. We need to look around and look at how God is blessing us every day and in all the things around us. We as mankind have a negative streak in us. If you don't believe so, look out in the world. It's so easy to see it out there. Everything's terrible. Everything's bad. But what is there? Is God bad? No, God is good. Are we looking to God? Are we looking to the things of God, to the good things that God is doing? Are we learning from the past? The people discovered that God's patience was not limitless. God is long-suffering and is not willing that any should perish. But there comes a point where God says, that's enough. And we see that example in the nation of Israel. We see that example in other places in the Bible. In Numbers 21:6, it says, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of Israel died. And then we see the grumbling. Another one of the warnings for us. Grumbling, murmuring. In Corinthians 10:10, the first part of the verse says, neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured. Well, I can do that better. I can take care of that better than that person does. Or why are they doing it that way? And we hear it all the time, don't we? It's a constant grumbling, murmuring going on in our world. We see that example here as the Israelites were in this growing time. First, it was with the rebellion of Korah and Korah the Levite against Moses and Aaron. Why are they the only ones that can do this? Why are they the only ones that can talk to God or the only ones that can be led by God? And as they stood and challenged God and God's leaders that he chose, Numbers 16 reminds us, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertaineth to Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertaineth to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. God has a way of taking care of problems. And the next day, the congregation of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, and again God judged the people with a plague. In Numbers 16:49, and now they that died in the plague were 14,700 beside them that died about the matter of Korah. We need to be careful what we say. We need to be careful what we think in our hearts. We need to be careful to learn from these individuals. Like I said when I started, some examples are good examples and some are, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be part of that. How can I prevent that? You know, I can give you that answer. How can I not fall under the judgment of God? Do what God says. Trust Him. Rely on Him. Let Him guide you. Trust His Word. Walk by faith. But mankind seems to find that difficult because they try to do it on their own powers, and it's not possible. God is our strength. God is our guide. We need to trust Him. First Corinthians 10:11 says, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. They're written to help us today. It happened to them. It's written for us. I wonder what's being written today. Are our lives today examples for those to come? Is our testimony what it needs to be for those who are watching, for those who are learning from us? And third is the warning of despondency. Paul has stressed the certainty of God's judgment, whether on the Israelites in the wilderness or the Christians in Corinth, reminding us that anyone can fall. We can fall. We can stumble. He says in 1 Corinthians 10:12 that, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Have you ever said, "Well, I'll never do that"? I would encourage you not to say that. "That'll never happen in my family." We're individuals. We have to realize that as much as we love others, they have to be accountable to God. And we can do everything that we can to be a good example, but they still ultimately have to make that choice. You know, this could cause us to feel despondent, hopeless against temptations that are too strong. Have you ever been at that point where the temptations were upon you and you're struggling and, "What do I do?" It's hard because the flesh works up in us, our emotions work up in us, but we have to rely on the Word of God. We have to trust the Lord. Again, He is our strength. Like He says here, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." When we come to temptation, we have to realize that no temptation is unique. I've heard people say, "Well, you just don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand what's happening." And a lot of times I don't. I have not been through what everybody else has been through. Maybe some things. And I may have been through things that you haven't been through. But the key is, we have to realize that the Bible says that they're out there and everyone has been. Everyone has dealt with these temptations, including our Savior. And He says in 13 that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. They're common. Maybe not common to me, but common to mankind. It's been going on, and God has provided for us the Savior, the guide, the instructions that we need from before the creation in Jesus Christ. But we must remember, temptations or tests we face are not unique to us. Well, what about this event taking place in our world right now? Isn't that unique? What is it, really? Compare it to the plagues in Egypt or Europe. Compare it to what mankind has gone through previously. It's not that big of a deal compared to some things. Can I deal with it? Can you trust God? Do you rely on Him? And that should be our answer in every situation, no matter the temptation. That's temptations that attack us are common to mankind. Why? Because our enemy knows how to. And it worked on Adam, it worked on Eve, and it's worked on everybody since. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If he can't get you that way, he starts working on things that are close to you, trying to divide and chop up marriages and families and get you away from the Bible and get you away from serving the Lord. And all of these are trials and temptations that our enemy puts out there in front of us. And they're common to man. But what do we need to do? Who is our example? Jesus Christ. What did Jesus do when he was tempted? He stood with the Word of God. What can we do today? We can stand with the Word of God and realize that is our strength. God is our strength. Because God is faithful. Again, in Corinthians 10:13, the last part says, "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." I love that verse. When I was younger, I didn't realize there was always a door of escape provided. I thought, well, this is the way it is. This is what it's like. This is my choices. But I never realized that there was a go to God door. And he takes care of it. He will lead you down and through what you need to go through. And sometimes it's just right through it, but he gives you that protection all the way. Sometimes it's a turn around and run situation. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. That means he knows me, and he knows you, and he knows what you're able to bear. And I look at some people that go through things, and I think, man, I don't think I could bear that, what they're going through. But I know that whatever God gives me, he will equip me to deal with, and he will equip you to deal with if we put him first and trust him. Whatever it might be, we need to realize it is not hopeless. God has provided a way. So we need to realize these warnings and learning from the past, learning from the examples of those that God has provided for us to learn from. We need to realize that Jesus offers us escape from the snares of sin. Maybe you need forgiveness. Maybe you've realized that, you know what, I'm not who I should be. I'm not what I should be. And the Lord's been speaking to me. And I need to trust him. I need to walk with him. I need to turn from the direction I'm going and turn to the Lord. Maybe you need forgiveness. Maybe you need a fresh start. Some of you, have you ever gotten to a stagnant room, stale room that hasn't had windows open for a couple years? What's it need? It needs a fresh start. It needs aired out. It needs going again. And sometimes we get that way. We get stagnant. We get stuck. And we need God to come along and cleanse us and open the pathway up before us. Kick out the spiders. But whatever we need, whatever the need is, we can bring it to Jesus. Because he is everything. And everything he's done for us. That we might have that relationship with our Heavenly Father that we were created to have. And I want you to know that you can have that through Jesus, with Jesus. Trust him with all that you are today. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you once again for the privilege of gathering in this place in your name. May you be exalted with your word. May your word continue to dwell in us and strengthen us and guide us as we leave from this place. And may your word continue to draw us closer and closer to you. The situations that are before us, we do not know, but you do. The struggles and the trials that are before us, we do not know, but you do. The path that you have for us is yours. Let us trust you. Let us walk with you. Let us rely on you. Let us bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. We pray in your precious and holy name.